We've probably all heard the question or been asked about this scenario that your house is on fire. All your family, your pets are safe, and you can go back into the house to rescue one thing. What would you rescue? What would be that one thing that you would take out of that burning house? Some people say it would be their photographs because they're just irreplaceable memories. Maybe there is something of such huge sentimental value there that could never be replaced by an insurance policy, and so you go and you grab that. Many a wit has suggested the only thing that's worth rescuing is the insurance policy itself. But what would it be? It's a way, really, of asking you what's important. What is it that you would go in and just pick up? And it's actually a good question to ask. And in these days, we could ask a similar question, because we've all learned a lot over these past months. We've experienced a lot. We've been through a lot. And if you could take one of those lessons that you've learned, one of those things that you've learned, if you could take one thing and take it forward with you, what would that be? What's the one experience you've had? What's the one lesson you've learned over these past weeks and months that you think that's so important, I want to take it with me? Maybe it's just not being frantically busy. Maybe it's spending more time with the ones we love. Whatever it is, we feel it's important enough to take it with us. Paul is talking in this passage, which Tom has just read for us, about what's really important to him. He's speaking to the church in Philippi again, these Christian people who are struggling to work out what it means to follow Jesus when life is not easy, when times are difficult. How do we follow Jesus? So Paul speaks to them of what's really important to him, and he tells them of a great reversal in his life. He starts by laying out some of his background, some of the heritage that he has, some of the advantages that he has, some of the benefits that he was born into. He is, as far as the church scene is concerned, he's perfect, because circumcised on the eighth day, as every true Jewish boy should have been. All the boxes have been ticked. As far as nationality goes, well, he was of the people of Israel. He didn't become a Jew later on in life. He was born one. You couldn't ask for more than that. His ancestors were great, because he was born into this tribe of Benjamin, and the tribal area of Benjamin right beside Jerusalem. It was just in the center of Israel's life, and there he is, part of that history, part of that tradition. As a practice in his life, he is a Hebrew of Hebrews. He stands out amongst the others in terms of language, in terms of attitudes, in terms of lifestyle. Paul has it all. He's a Hebrew amongst Hebrews. He's head and shoulders above the rest, if you like. He's a Pharisee. He is zealous about trying to keep the law. He is ultra careful about making sure that he doesn't transgress, that he doesn't break the law, so much so that the Pharisees added more and more laws around God's law so that it almost protected God's law. And Paul says, I'm zealous about these things. He talks about his legalistic righteousness, which is faultless, and keeping the law. So Paul says, you know what? I had a lot to boast about in terms of my background, my nationality, my ecclesiastical pomp and ceremony. Everything is there. Everything that I could boast about is there. And then Paul uses this image, this picture of bookkeeping or accounting, and he says that all these things were to his profit. These were things that he said were to his gain. Look at my background. Look at my tradition. Look at all that I've inherited. Look how good I am. And Paul says, those things were to my profit. Those things were my gain. Those are the reasons to put trust. Everything that he had, everything that he could achieve was wonderful. He was self-centered. As you read down through all of that, it's about him. It's about what he has achieved. It's about what he has inherited. It's about how he was brought up. It's all about Paul. He's self-centered. And then comes this time of reversal. Then comes this time of a great exchange in Paul's life when he is totally turned around. And he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, what was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All those things that he used to boast about, all those things in which he placed his confidence, they're now loss for the sake of Christ. Everything is a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What an amazing statement. This is the man who just earlier in his life had been depending upon everything he could do, everything he could achieve, everything he was. And those were all in the profit column of his accounts. And now he says, you know what? They're actually losses. Compared with knowing Jesus, they don't count. They're losses. All those things, he says, all those things which he once thought were important, all those things which he might have rushed into a fire to rescue because that was where he found his confidence, all those things, well, they're now gone. He can no longer boast in them. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. He has changed from being a man who is totally self-absorbed, self-centered, trying to do his best, working everything out before God, to someone who is now centered in Jesus Christ. He's no longer striving to be faultless, legalistic righteousness, making sure all the boxes are ticked, making sure he doesn't do the wrong thing at the wrong time, all those things that he thinks will give him favor in God's sight. He's no longer striving in those. Now he's trusting in Jesus. He's trusting in Jesus for that righteousness that comes from God. During the time that Heather and I lived in Kenya, we once stayed overnight in a guest house. And in the morning we asked, could they provide us with a picnic lunch? And the cook looked quite blankly at us and said, what? And we said, a picnic lunch. And it just didn't translate. He couldn't work out, and we couldn't explain to him what we wanted. But we ended up, through, he talked through these things, and we ended up asking him, could we have a walking lunch in a box? And we ended up with the right thing, the translation thing. There's a story of a missionary who was translating into the local language for the folks that amongst whom he was working. He was struggling to find a word that would translate faith. He just couldn't find that word. He worked at it and he thought about it. And then he was interrupted by a knock at his door. And at the door was somebody who was in trouble, someone who was needing help, someone who was in great distress. And this is what he said. The man at the door looked at the missionary and said, please may I come and lean heavily upon you. Please may I come and lean heavily upon you. Faith, leaning heavily upon Jesus. It's not our efforts. That's what Paul was to discover. All those things that once he thought were to his gain, well, they're now rubbish compared with knowing Jesus. It's not our efforts. It's the finished work of Jesus on the cross, in which we trust. We've already sung about it. As we started this morning singing that lovely song, "Only by grace may we enter." Paul used to think that, well, if he could produce a list of all the good things he had done, if he had a journal that kept a record of everything that he had done for God, surely that would get him into God's good book. Surely that would win God's favor. Surely he would be in heaven because of that record. And yet Paul was to realize, no, only by grace may we enter. Only by grace. Leaning heavily on Jesus. That's what faith is. On October the 28th, 1949, a young man, a 22-year-old man, wrote this in his diary. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Jim Elliot wrote those words at the age of 22 in his diary. 7 years later, 1956, in Ecuador, he was martyred as a missionary. Jim Elliot and Paul, long time before him, knew that the truly important thing was that which is eternal. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. Everything else, the achievements, the tradition, the heritage, good though they may be, wonderful though they may be, they are temporary, they are fading, and they will soon be gone. The only thing that lasts is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot knew it. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Paul learned that. Jim Elliot knew it. We need to learn it too. What is really important is knowing Christ, being found in him, having that eternal life which he offers to us. Jesus in Luke's gospel puts it this way: whoever wants to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. If you want to go ahead and work and save your own life, then you'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus will save it. All of Paul's ceremonies, privileges, religion, works of righteousness, they're all rubbish. They're all loss. Grace leads us to that eternal gain. How could Paul live in serenity? This Paul, who had been through so much, who was caught up in riots, who was thrown into prison, who was beaten, who was shipwrecked, who was imprisoned and later executed. How could this Paul live in serenity? Because he knew what was important. No longer put his trust in all those other things. His trust was now in Jesus, leaning heavily on Jesus. Giving up those things that he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. So Paul could live serenely. Didn't have to strive anymore. He didn't have to be responsible for clocking up all of those brownie points, those loyalty points before God, because God had done it all for him in Jesus. Only by grace. Only by grace. True humility, true serenity comes when we know that it's not about us. It's about Jesus. When we can give up striving and struggling, trying to be perfect and never quite getting there. If you've ever seen the film Saving Private Ryan, you will know the story of it, where Private Ryan is rescued. And in the rescue operation, the major who leads his rescue is killed. But Ryan is saved. And towards the end of the film, there's a very moving clip where Ryan, who is now an old man, goes to the grave of that major and stands and weeps. Tell me I've done enough to deserve what you did. Tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me it was enough. And you can hear the anguish, not knowing whether he had done enough to deserve what was done for him. Paul was set free from that anguish. He no longer had to ask, have I done enough to deserve your love? Have I earned your kindness, your favor? Paul set free from that. And he knows that it's only by grace, God's undeserved love. And he's set free from that anguish to live serenely, whatever circumstances. And so he encourages the folks at Philippi to work out what's important, what's eternal, what's unchanging. Jesus Christ. And his encouragement is for us too this morning. As we go through difficult, uncertain, trying times, the one unchanging is Jesus, his love, his grace. It brings me back again to that wonderful prayer of John the Baptist, which is a constant challenge to me. He must become greater, I must become less. It's about Jesus, not about my tiny achievements. It's about Jesus and what he has done. It's about God and who he is. And when we begin to know that, when we experience his overwhelming love for us, then we're set free to live in serenity no matter what. May God give us the grace to know his love and to live secure, humbly, and serenely, enfolded in that love. Shall we pray together? Father, we are surrounded by lots of things which are important to us. Lots of things and people to whom we turn for reassurance and confidence. And yet, Lord, none of it lasts forever. And so we rejoice that your love endures forever. We rejoice that you have given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And so help us, Lord, to humbly bow the knee before you, to accept what you have done for us in Jesus, and to live in serenity where you have placed us. And to you, Lord, be all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.